All you positive heads out there, thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we are firmly convinced that creating success and happiness is rooted in understanding the ultimate nature of reality and the fact that as human beings, we are all immensely powerful fractals of the one and only source consciousness, which creates and animates all things. Now, of course, understanding this powerful truth is one thing. Applying this incredibly empowering wisdom to everyday life? Well, that's another. Which is exactly why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. To help constantly remind you of what matters most. You are it. And I'm your host, Brandon Beecham. I'm the one who will be here with you each and every Wednesday, interviewing a different consciousness changemaker that is also out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can hear me discussing topics such as my favorite thought-provoking quotes, reading and discussing wisdom from empowering books, playing clips from various inspirational spiritual teachers, sharing a bit of mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and essentially digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a consistent basis. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. So glad to be back here with you all again for another magical day in 3D. Hope you all are shining brightly wherever you are and making the most of your fleeting moments, really, right? This life is, it's really short when you think about it. Any of you that have children, think about that perspective that we have when we, you know, it's one thing growing up, it seems like this long, drawn out process. But when you're watching it as a parent, it's like, whoa, weren't you just like crawling and now you're like asking for the car keys? It happens so quick, right? Our lives are a blip in eternity. And death is as much a part of life as life is, you know, as anything, right? Everyone's going there. And we're going to talk about that more today. My last episode stirred up a little feedback, which is good, right? It gets us thinking. Even if you don't agree with the concepts on the show all the time, getting us thinking and talking is the most important possible thing, right? And certainly the last episode did a little bit of that. And so I would like to continue and kind of dive a little deeper into the topic of death and so forth, because it is such a sensitive one for us all. But before I do, I would like to take a moment and read a review on iTunes. Very excited to see some feedback from a listener. And for those of you who haven't taken the time to give a review on iTunes, please do so. Helps us to reach new people. And we're doing a lot of that. Thanks to you guys sharing, telling family, friends, giving these reviews, which of course fuel my labor of love to continue with this project, right? Every time I get a review, it's true. You guys hear me say it, but I mean it. It's like, it feels so good to know that I'm touching any of your lives in any way, and you're certainly touching mine as well. And those reviews are a great way to do it. It really, it does a lot. So let's see here. New review. This one's by Kindy Lou Hu. Oh, we have a Dr. Seussian on our hands. Soul Fam Home is the subject, and it says, Brandon, I love the new intro. I've been in my root chakra the past few days. When I'm there, I don't feel the flow of answers. I have had so much coming in recently and then cut off. I find myself wondering if I'm crazy and feeling scared. Then I hear the past two episodes. Really, I have been listening for almost a year now, and it never ceases to amaze me. Beyond that, I'm grateful for all your listeners and the Facebook page. I love all you guys out there. Hugs. That's where I feel so much connection. When I first started listening, I could only giggle to myself. Now I can share with the whole group. Seriously, you all are the best. I feel so much love to and from all of our beautiful soul fam. Thanks, Brandon, and thanks everyone who's listening. And thank you, me for finding this soul home. Hehe. I feel so much gratitude. That's such a wonderful review. Thank you so much. You touched on so many things that I want to mention, you know, saying being in your root chakra and you don't feel the flow of answers. Isn't it great when you start realizing, you start recognizing the energy patterns in your body? And, you know, something that I've started doing in the last few months before I even turn on the mic every day is a chakra opening meditation, because you're allowing more in, you're allowing, you know, you're allowing more energy to come from beyond, you know, 3D, so to speak. And it is very tangible and very real. And once you start really understanding and kind of getting more sensitive, more fine tuned to energies, you can say, hey, I'm feeling cut off. What's going on? Oh, my energy is stuck. Let's do something to try and open up more and to move out of fear and all those things. And it sounds like Kindy Lou Hu is getting that. And that's so wonderful. And of course, connecting with Soul Family, connecting with people, you know, like our tribe on the Facebook group, Positive Heads, by the way, if you guys aren't on there, please join. So many amazing souls connecting and supporting one another, and people like Kindy Lou Hu, who maybe, you know, some of you guys are a little more shy or timid. I guarantee you, you're going to feel comfortable as you sort of begin to spread your wings a little bit and connect with others and speak out. It feels really, really good. Life definitely begins outside of our comfort zone, guys. And so I encourage any of you that are just passively listening or passively watching on the Facebook page, speak up, connect, you know. Not that you have to, it's fine if you don't, but it's really nice when you do. And life does indeed begin outside of our comfort zone. So, yeah, other than that, let's see here. Let's move right along. What I want to dig into today, as I mentioned, is a little bit more on the previous episode, which where I talked about, you know, I mentioned how everything is sort of happening on time, on purpose. There's never been any mistakes. And that becomes, and, you know, I talked a little bit about like Hitler and some extreme examples like that. Played a clip even of Abraham talking about Hitler. And I had said something in that episode where I just made up an example of a 4-year-old getting killed in some awful way, and how we don't really see the entire story of that soul, and how, you know, essentially it's always a balancing of sorts. It's the universe balancing itself out in some way, shape, or form. And I would, you know, the universe balancing itself out sounds like it's happening to someone. I would say it's that soul balancing itself out, actually. It's, and I had someone who posted, you know, online saying, you know, after obviously it had created a reaction of a feeling with this person, and understandably so. This is a very touchy kind of subject, and that's why I wanted to come back and circle back around and really kind of deeply clarify my perspective on all this. So even if you don't agree, you at least understand where it's coming from, right? So someone had said, you know, hold on, if a 4-year-old gets killed, it's just the universe balancing itself out? For real, brah? And, you know, kind of like, what are you talking about, you a-hole, sort of? And like I said, I get it. I understand why someone would feel that way. And so, you know, once again, I got to say, I don't believe there's ever been a victim or a mistake. And let's think about that for a second. Okay. You know, we talk about source or God or higher self. What is source? What is God? We can think of God, and, you know, that's sort of the religiously charged term for source, right? But you think of it being perfect. Well, I always struggle with that, even with religion. It's like, hold on, God is perfect, but yet there's all these quote unquote problems, right? Are they really problems, or is our perspective the problem? Is it that we call it a problem or a mistake? I don't believe there's ever been a single mistake in all of eternity, and nor will there ever be. I believe it's always happening for us, not to us. Not only is it happening, you know, for us, it's happening through us always. Whatever it is, the quote-unquote bad experiences, or let's say challenging experiences, what do? They cause more growth, more expansion for the soul that is directly involved, for the souls that are indirectly involved. It's always creating more expansion. When you're an eternal being that's always been and always will be, truly, nothing matters. We've just got this perspective. We think death is supposed to be this bad thing. I saw a meme the other day. From an old movie, The Neverending Story, a great one. And it said a quote from that: nothing is lost. Everything is transformed. And that is truly the case. We can see it from an energetic standpoint when we look at science. Matter, you know, can't be created or destroyed. It changes states. It's exactly what happens with us. Nothing is ever lost. Well, what is the idea, our view of this death thing that, by the way, everyone's going to experience, yet we've got this very unhealthy relationship with it, this unhealthy perspective? It's not truly a losing. We believe it's a losing. That's our perspective is askew. It's off, and understandably so. It's the unknown, right? Life happens outside of your comfort zone, right? So I heard it put a long time ago. I want to say it was Conversations with God book. I may be wrong on that, but it's been a long time ago where I heard the perspective of someone was, you know, in that book, I believe they were talking about suicide, right? And that, of course, being a very heavy, charged sort of issue. And, you know, God in the book, right, as he's having his conversation with God, equated it to someone getting up and walking out of a movie theater. The soul that checked out, took themselves off, I'm done with this movie, and equated it to that. Now, what a difference that is compared to the heaviness of the way we view such an act, right? It's this awful, awful, awful event. And yes, it hurts for those left behind. Yes, it's painful to watch. I've had it very close to home. My brother's ex-girlfriend who lived with me. And actually there's a little synchronicity with the upcoming clip I'm going to share surrounding that. She took her life, and beautiful girl, beautiful soul, not strung out on drugs. Just like the sweetest, most delicate flower. Right. And just someone who was so delicate, they just couldn't deal, and took herself out. And it almost destroyed my brother. So I've experienced that sort of thing firsthand. What did she do? Do I believe she walked out of the movie theater? She had had enough of this story. Will there be energetic repercussions? Sure. There's energetic repercussions for every act, every emanation, everything that we do. But in the end, ultimately, I feel like it's all good. It's always happening in perfect flow and perfect harmony. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we take life so seriously. I believe this is a game. We're here playing. We're eternal, untouchable beings that are playing and experiencing and growing and expanding. It's not this heavy, serious thing that we've been trained to think. And I take myself so damn serious, and I'm judging what I should or shouldn't do. Relax. Get over yourself to some degree, in a good way. So do I believe it's always happening for us and through us? Yes, I do. And do I believe there's things that apparently look tragic that happen? Yes, I do. Do I believe those things make this whole existence worthwhile and give it the grit and contrast and the things that our souls long, our eternal, unshakable souls long to experience a taste of? Yes, I do. And so what I'd like to do now is actually share a clip from Abraham, because she talks about it in a irreverent way. Esther Hicks, oftentimes, she calls it croaking, the truth about croaking. And this was, as I was sitting there thinking about it, and I started thinking about my brother's ex and my former roommate, I noticed that this particular clip was published on July 24th. And I was like, oh, how interesting. That was her birthday. It also happens to be my mother's birthday. Well, as soon as I noticed it, I'm listening to the clip. Within 30 seconds, the guy you'll hear asking the question brings up his daughter who committed suicide on her birthday. So I got the chills, and hopefully this helps to take us into more more understanding, a deeper perspective on this croaking thing. Take a listen.
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad you called on me. I've been thinking about this for years. Actually, this...
Unfortunately, you've used all your time.
Okay, well, it's nice to see you anyway. I'm a musician, and ever since being introduced to your material, I've thought about it a lot, and I write. And I've written you a whole CD of music that I want to give you to use in any way you see fit. But that isn't the real reason. The real burning question that I have is 6 years ago, my daughter...
Inspired music is the best kind, isn't it?
It is, and Abraham inspired me every time because I consciously connected with Abraham and other non-physical beings that wanted to write to create this music that that expressed the ideas and the thoughts that...
From inside the vortex,
yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But as I said, that's not the reason, the burning question that I have, and the thing that's...
I want to ask you about a burning question.
Okay, go ahead.
Does it burn?
It's hot.
Because it's big and you're not in the vicinity of it.
In other words,
when someone talks about a burning question, isn't that what it means? I have a desire that I'm in resistance to, and the burn of that. It's a burning question. That's what you mean by a burning question, isn't it?
Yes.
And so the torture begins.
And that comes a real good part then.
So rather than calling it a burning question to which I couldn't possibly hear the answer, because when it burns, I'm not in the vibrational vicinity of it, soften it by making it more general than a burning question. But the reason, and if you've been listening to us for a while, Esther teases us because we use the same old bad joke every single time that someone says, oh, I've been waiting my whole life for this, and now, and then we always say, whoops, we're out of time. And it's our way of helping you to acknowledge when you feel that way, you can't get there from there. And so a burning question, you want to soften it. I have a question that I had forever, still too specific and too negative. I have a question that I've been pondering for a long time, and I believe that I've put the answers and the solutions to it in my vortex. And since I'm sitting here in this gathering and have been joyously listening for so long, and the very fact that you called on me when you did means that I'm probably in a vicinity of being able to hear the answer to this formerly burning question that right now I think is just simmering in perfect readiness and ripeness for me to hear the answer. You see what we're getting at?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now we're out of time.
Okay, see you. Well, you got me. I'm speechless, and that's rare.
So lay it on us. Let us identify why it burns.
Okay. When I started listening to your information, it was about six years ago. And at that time, my daughter committed suicide. And the thing that saved my sanity was the information was that we don't die, we just go back to pure positive energy. And I've experienced the passing of, well, I'm the last kid standing in my family, you know. But it happened in June, and June is a really, can be a tough month for me because it was
because
her birthday.
Because of association.
Her birthday and the day time she killed herself.
Yes.
So...
Because it was her birthday and her birthday.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. But I want to find... I try to find a place where I can stay in that happiness mode because I know she is so much happier and in such a better place, you know? And that pure positive energy. And I feel her. I feel her in my heart. And I feel her all the time. And I know that she's happy for me being in this hot seat right now talking to you.
She's responsible for it.
You know, I believe that.
You have friends in high places.
I got friends.
So do you, conspiracy worrier. You think they're powerful? So much more going on in the vortex.
It truly is. And the thing that I want to express to, I guess to maybe say, is that the universal love that I feel from her after the crossing, even after her passing.
Well, your depth of alignment is much more than it ever would have been before.
I'm way different.
But as people ponder that. They think, but Abraham, that's more of a painful price than I ever want to have to pay in order to achieve enlightenment. So I'll just pass on enlightenment. I'll just pass on it, and I'll just wallow around in overwhelmment and frustration. And I just don't need that kind of enlightenment. But the thing that we really want you to feel from this, something that you said, is the piece that we all, especially your daughter, wants to smooth out with you, is that you talk about June and how it's a tougher time because of association, and then you get lazy with your thought. You let memory and time associations direct your thought rather than letting the call of the vortex direct your thought. And then when you get a hold of a piece of it, even though it starts out kind of general, oh, this is June, that's general. Oh, it's June, and June was when she was born, more specific. Oh, it's June, and that was the time of her making her transition. Now it's more specific. So you get focused there, and then it just sucks the life right out of you because you're focused in opposition. It's not because you're focused upon a bad time. It's because you're focused in opposition to the way better time that was born out of it. In other words, because of what happened in that June, rockets were launched and your vortex expanded. And when you go with that expansion, then you celebrate the June events, both of them. Because both of them were catalysts to enormous satisfaction that you've discovered that you couldn't have discovered without either of those events. But in the moment of the pain, you're not allowing the expansion. And that's all that pain's about. It's not because your daughter experienced her deliberate transition into non-physical. That's not what your pain's about. Your pain's about all of the expansion that took place because of that and a result of that, but that you're depriving yourself of because you're looking at it through the eyes of a world who doesn't understand it. You see, yes. People are not supposed to feel good about death. You're just not. And it is the screwiest notion in the whole world because everybody, maybe we shouldn't tell you, is going to die. You're not going to stay in these physical bodies. And the closer you get to the time that you think it is a time for you, then the more you tense about it when you should be celebrating it. Because our friend wants to talk, he wants to be present. Do you know what the death experience is? Present. Present without resistance. It's so very good, you see. It's so very good. And so when you find yourself in that moment or moments when you just feel like you can't hardly stand it because of the way you feel, the thought that you just stop and say, well, this is just dumb. I'm focused. I've focused myself into pain, and I can focus myself into pleasure, and I can do it pretty darn quick if I want it enough. And the big catalyst now is you want a rendezvous not just with who you are and not just with who Source is, but you want a rendezvous with who your daughter is. You said, I feel her in my heart. And we say, you don't unless you're in the vortex. And when you do, you're fully present, you see. So you just got to get over this death thing. We like to be disrespectful of it because there isn't any. We like to call it croaking. We like to mock you in your concern about it because you are eternal beings. You do not come to an end. You do not cease to be. You do not cease to be. And who you are in this vortex is so full and so present and so appreciative. And here's another thing. Ooh. You're really going to like this. And we really like saying it to you. This is along the same conversation of the theory of the vortex, the concept of it, and the fast on the heels manifestation. In other words, it's so lovely when you do the vortex work, which affects the manifestation, and now you can observe the manifestation, which makes it easier to do the vortex work. So you do the vortex work, which affects the manifestation, and now watching the manifestation makes it easier to do the vortex work. So there's just this cycling. It's like getting on a real roll. Hello. It's like getting on a real roll where it just gets better and better and better and better. Not ethereal, not fairy dust, not conceptual, not intangible, but tangible, manifestational. In other words, it translates into all of this. So in that same understanding, when when you accept the reality of the eternalness of your being and the eternalness of your daughter's being, you allow her now presence to manifest into your experience, so that her thoughts are your thoughts, so that you hear the conversation, so that her influence affects your manifestation. You see what we're getting at? In other words, there's no separation. There is no separation other than the one that you all have defined. And you define it for logical reasons. There are obvious beginnings and endings to your physical experiences. You have the birth experience and you have what you call the death experience. We get that. But there is so much more continuity to who you are than most of you who have been allowing yourself to experience. And those like you who have been sitting and listening to us so patiently, even eagerly, for hours on end, talk about the vortex influence on manifestation, will have a different experience with everyone you know who makes their transition. Because it, in other words, when someone says, "Well, I'll pray for you," and you think, "Well, that's comforting," but blah blah blah, or in other words, there's a difference between the idea of something and the actual vibrational effect of something, you see. And the actual vibrational effect of it is a manifestation. So what we're saying to you is, those who make their transition, don't go into non-physical oblivion where you don't have access to them. If you're in the vicinity, you have greater access to them than you've ever had. And you can rendezvous with them in meaningful ways, just like you're rendezvousing with meaningful flight attendants or meaningful people along the way. So there's no separation. Good time.
Thank you
for segment
so
of refreshment.
I love how she starts out, you know, she's so on it. You know, she talked about the burning question. Oh, what does that mean? It's big and you're not in the vicinity of it. I have a desire that I'm in resistance to. When it burns, I'm not in vibrational vicinity. Soften it by making it more general. So a lot of what she's doing here, if you guys listen back to the episode with Mark England, Procabulary, right? Abracadabra, as I speak, I create. That's what she's talking about here. It's like, choosing your words and your story more effectively in a way that creates a different vibration. Notice what you're saying, guys, all the time, every day. I'm trying to do this. Don't try to do anything. Get into vibrational alignment with it. I am this, and I look forward to the manifestation in my reality in the future. I feel it now, right? Instead of trying or maybe could be, all these soft vocabulary, I think as Mark calls it. I forget exactly how he refers to it, actually. Listen back to that. Anyway, that's a little tangent, because then she gets into all the death related stuff. And what did she point out about this awful story, right? From our limited perspective, actually, this guy is now more in alignment because of the suicide. It led him to finding the truth of what's going on, right? And he acknowledged that. Abraham acknowledged that. You know, what happens is when he was started talking about how every June it's really hard for him, right? Well, what is he doing? What story is he telling? Well, he was focused in opposition to the better things that happened out of it. So tell the story differently about the rockets of desire that were launched because of the experience. It was a catalyst. How often do you see something tragic happen? And then that person, you know, you've seen it a lot of times, especially with parents and child, you know, their children, something happens to the child, and the parent becomes now activist for that particular thing. It becomes their cause to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen to someone else's child. And it leads to purpose in that soul's story. And because they really never leave each other, right? That's one of the things she talked about. When you accept the eternalness of your being, you allow you know, you allow the presence of that soul that's crossed to manifest into your experience. Their influence affects your experience the same way the flight attendant does, right? She said, if you can focus yourself into pain, you can focus yourself into pleasure. And of course, she goes on to say how she is disrespectful of death and calls it croaking to try and lighten us up, because you never cease to be. We've been charged that this is something, you know, as she said, not feeling good about death is the screwiest notion in the world. It's as she put it with the girl, hey, it was her birthday and her birthday. Why? Because when you're born to this dimension, you actually are detaching from the one we all came from, right? And when you die here, you're born again into the dimension from which we originally came from. That's actually more of our home. This is the vacation. This is the movie that sometimes people get up and walk out of in very abrupt, dramatic fashion, right? That can be shocking to those of us left behind and painful, especially when our perspective is of eternal loss. There is no eternal loss. We only can take vacations from one another. You are stuck with me forever is what that means. And I'm stuck with you, and we will always all be together. There may be times where we take breaks, and thank goodness for breaks, because they make it all the more juicy when you come back together with that soul that you long for and love and have loved eternally. You can never lose the grandmother. You can never lose the child. You can never lose the parent. You can only take vacations from one another. They are literally a part of your soul. And when you accept the eternalness of your being and theirs, you cross into a different level of experience where they can actually start impacting your reality here and now, even though they're not in physical 3D reality. Well, that's quite the topic, is it not? Thank you guys so much for listening, tuning, sharing. I love you all. You're stuck with me. I do have a track I'd like to leave you with. This is a recommendation from a listener and friend, Casey, and it came in my email right before I started. Seemed perfect, the title of this track, and I took a listen and I really liked it. The title of the track was perfect. The Senses Are Liars is the name of the song. Yes, our senses are liars, guys. Let's move beyond the five senses into understanding more. And this song is by the artist One Arc Degree. And with that being said, until next time, journey well.